Appreciate the song. Appreciate this church and its pastor. Appreciate the message we just heard. And more than that, I appreciate that God gave me a desire to be here. Because if the Lord hadn't put the desire in my heart, I wouldn't be faithful to church either. That's why you're faithful to church. The Lord's changed your heart. He did mine. And bear with me a little bit. If you turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. It's good to be home. Good to be where the Lord first spoke to me. And where the Lord called me to preach and the Lord baptized me. And a lot of good memories here. And I'm thankful for what the Lord done in my life. And thankful for my pastor. I miss him. And I'm thankful for what he taught me. What the Lord used him to teach me, I should say. If we would, I'd like to read these first six verses in Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees also and the Sadducees came, tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed, and his disciples were come to the other side, and they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus saith unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. We'll stop reading there. And really, that's what I titled my message, is just beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And you might want to say right away in your mind, how does this apply to us? I mean, I believe that all Scripture applies to us. I mean, we don't see Pharisees and Sadducees running around, and I don't know of any sects in West Milton or any here in Mount Morris. But it certainly applies to us very much today to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And certainly this applies to us just as much as it did them to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Before we get to that, I want you to know that the Bible also tells us that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, Paul did, and he said, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I believe that we're in the last days of the last days. And the days are certainly evil. And we need to walk circumspectly, and we need to understand and know that there's leaven out there in this world. I appreciated the message, and I didn't want to elaborate on my pastor too much, but I remember going calling with Brother Titus when he would go to someone's house who hadn't been faithful to church, Brother Jeff, and sometimes they were older people, and he'd take me along. He'd say, come on, you come with me on Tuesday or whatever. And I remember people saying, well, I'm too sick to get out to church. And he'd say, you go to the doctor? Well, I have to go to the doctor. He said, well, how long you sit in the doctor's office? Yeah. 1 hour. He said, you can't sit in church for an hour? And he said, well, you go to the grocery store? Yeah, how long does that take you? An hour? You know? Oh, you go get your hair done? Well, yeah, I have to get my hair done. It was just amazing. I watched him and I thought, they'd backed themselves into a corner, not knowing that, you know. We can be faithful to church if we want to be. And the only reason you want to be is because God changed your heart. But we know that this is a wicked world that we live in. and the leaven of the world is out there. We know that we live in wicked times, and I believe that we've turned a corner in my life. People, things have changed over the past 50 years since World War II. This country was literally respected around the world. It was respected by other countries, maybe not Germany and Japan, but it was respected by everyone else. That stopped about 30 years ago, I think. And yet the people in this country, even through my lifetime, even after the respect maybe of the United States as a Christian nation had ceased, there was still respect in this country for Christians. I mean, churches didn't have to be locked. You never saw graffiti on a church building or anything like that. You never had anybody vandalize church property. There was respect for Christians in the world. But that stopped. But that has stopped in the time that we're living in. We're living in a time now where the Bible is very true, in fact, that it says Christians are hated. Look with me, if you will, just over in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, "If ye were of the world would love its own." Well, let's start, let's first read verse 18. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Well, I'll tell you what. Not only does the world hate us, but I'm afraid that our own government hates us. "If ye were of the world would love its own, but because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." We may be in for it. I preached to our people recently about the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bowing down. And you know what happened is there was people that literally said, "They're not bowing over there." That may well happen if the fairness doctrine and the things that the government's trying to do, it may be people that are saying, "You know, over at home church, those people are not cooperating. Did you listen to what that guy said on the radio at West Milton Baptist Church? What he believes?" A member of our church gave me this. This was that document. I don't know if anybody's got it, but it was by our Homeland Security. It's our country. Over 40 sometimes in here, it talks about right-wing terrorists. But I just want to read you a couple things. "Right-wing extremism in the United States can be broadly divided into those groups, movements, and adherents that are primarily hate-orientated based on hatred or particular religious, radical, or ethnic groups." And it goes on, it says, "For fear of, you know, rejecting federal authority in favor of state or local authority and rejecting government authority, and it may be included in groups and individuals dedicated to a single issue such as opposition to abortion or immigration." And then it goes on and it talks about these same groups having long-standing issues such as social issues such as abortion, interracial crimes, and same-sex marriages. It goes on and talks about these same anti-government conspiracy theorists and their end-time prophecies. And then the violent Christian identity organizations and extremist members and the right-wing extremists and their beliefs and their children. And it goes on and on and on. And it's a shame that our government. But we, you know, but Brother John Trescott preaches wonderful. Government's against us. The world is against us. The world's going to hate us. In fact, the Lord said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." He said, "That ought to be no amazing thing. They hated me." If you take a stand, you know what the world loves? Wishy-washy Christians out there. They love the Christians out there that are the ones that will have a beer with them on Saturday night. They love them kind of Christians. But the Christian who will stand for some truths, the Christian who will be separate from the world and dress different, you know, or look different, they lump you right in there with the people who blow up buildings and everything else. They do. That's the world in which we live in. Folks, the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees has been destroying our homes and our churches. In our text, we see that the Sadducees, they came, and it says that they came tempting. They didn't really come really desiring to know anything. They came tempting and asking for heavenly signs. It wasn't enough that 5,000 people more were fed and healed of sickness and disease. It wasn't enough for them to see the blind, the lame, and the dumb maimed and healed. It wasn't enough to see multitudes fed. They asked for a sign from heaven, of which the Lord descended upon him in the spirit of a dove and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them to believe in Christ. And the Lord said here to him, he says, they wanted to see another sign. And he said, "Oh, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Well, we ought to be able to. And he goes on and says, "Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but not discern the signs of the time." Well, one of the things that I thought about, you know, the problem that we have in this is that there's too much trying to please a world who doesn't love us anyway. This whole idea that people think that we all just want to be accepted. That's why we're in such a mess as Christians. We want to be accepted by the world, you know, and I see it. I've seen it my whole life, you know, and anybody who's raised children see that. Young girls, don't try to dress to get a lost boy to love you. You dress to get the Lord to love you, and God will give you a good husband. And the same goes for you young men. I tell you what, I love seeing these three sit on the front pew. I love seeing them sitting up here. I love seeing young people that are desiring to hear the word of God. We don't need anything other than that. If the Lord saved your soul, you ought to just have a hunger for it. Amen. To know. But there's those that, you know, the leaven of this world, we need to be aware of it. The danger that it's doing. Look with me over in Mark chapter 1. They wanted a heavenly sign. And here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open," in verse 10 there, "and the Spirit of like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And yet, that wasn't enough. The Spirit of God, it wasn't enough. They came and they said, "We need to see a sign. We need to see something." Well, who were these two groups? The Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day. I believe we have them today. They're just not called Pharisees and Sadducees. The Pharisees were what? They were the Jewish spiritual leaders of the people. They were the so-called, you know, spiritual leaders of the day. Well, don't we have those? We do. And the Sadducees, they were also spiritual leaders. But the difference in the Sadducees, what they didn't believe in a resurrected soul. Well, we got them today, don't we? I believe that the leaven of the Pharisees is certainly here in the world in which we live in, and it's caused great harm to the Lord's church. And also the leaven of the Sadducees. Those who believe that this life is it. Because there's a whole world out there of educational system that's controlled by the Sadducees. You can't turn on any kind of history channel. I like watching History and Discovery and Learning Channel, but I'll tell you, you know, it's all the Sadducees running it. And they don't believe in any eternal life, and they don't believe in a resurrected soul. In fact, what they really wanted to do is bring you down to the level of an animal. Because if there's no soul that's ever resurrected, you're no different than your pet dog. And that's why there's no different than acting like your pet dog. Because if there's nothing to come. In fact, what did the Lord say? Look back with me there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 4. How did Christ describe these two groups? Look at verse 4 of Matthew 16. "A wicked and adulterous generation." He said, this is how he described the spiritual leaders of the day. Well, that pretty much fits it today too, doesn't it? The world in which we live in. And Prophet Jeremiah said that, you know, spoke of the children of Israel as playing the harlot and Israel committing adultery, and the Lord saying that he would put her away and give her a bill of divorcement. And then he says, "It came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks." And I thought about that word lightness. I thought, you know what? There's just light. Sin is just made light of. It's made light of. It's made light of because that's what the world has done. I mean, it's just being, you know, you're just narrow-minded if you're not open-minded. You know, the world loves the open-minded Christian who thinks, well, God loves them homosexuals too. You know. And I hope that the Lord saves, you know, I want the Lord to save them. Don't get me wrong. We can't have them as church members as practicing homosexuals. And And we can't embrace them when they're in that lifestyle. The Lord can save them out of it just like He can save an alcoholic out of being a drunk. But we can't make light of it. It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman, Solomon wrote. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, "What? I have done no wickedness." And that's the world in which we live in today. I've done nothing wrong. What's wrong with me? They're pure in their own eyes. They have turned from the gospel, the false teaching, to easy believism. We have our so-called spiritual leaders today, and we need to beware of the leaven. The press loves them. They'll get on Larry King, and Larry King will interview them because, you know, they're the kind of Christians that are acceptable. The Joel Osteens, the Rick Warrens. And years ago, you know, the ones that did the most damage to the Lord's churches were the Jack Hiles and the John R. Rice's bringing their leaven in. Look at the effect that Jeremiah Wright's had. Christ warns us about these groups. He said there in Matthew 16, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now look with me there in verse 7. Look at Matthew 16 and verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. He was warning his disciples, saying, you beware of that leaven. And they just didn't get it. They didn't understand that that little bit of powder you put in your bread that has great effect. They said, well, why is he saying this about leaven? Well, it was because we bought no bread. And then in verse 8, it says, when Jesus perceived, he saith unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread, do ye not yet understand? Neither the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And then in verse 12 it says, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine. But of the doctrine. Beware of their doctrine, of their teaching, their ideas, this doctrine of our so-called spiritual leaders, the doctrine of easy believism, the doctrine of decisional salvation, of a works-based salvation, and this Joel Osteen with, you know, a psychology and all this stuff that's just, and there's no real gospel even preached. And why are our churches in such a mess? It's because all that little bit of leaven comes into our home. The leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees filters through. Their ideas. It's why churches today think, well, we've got to have a big, you know, life center out back, or we've got to have a gymnasium, or we've got to have some entertainment. We've got to have something for the young people. What we got for the young people, what is it, milk and honey, is that, Brother Garner? The Word of God? I mean, if you're saved, young person, that's really all you want. You want to have the Word of God. Their methods. There are many warnings in the New Testament about false doctrines and false teaching. And he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. I tell you what, I learned the doctrine that Brother Titus and this church preached, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful God taught it to me. I remember walking in back one Sunday after the Lord called me to preach, and I had a book some preacher had given me, and Brother Titus looked at me and he said, what you got there? And I said, I got a book Brother so-and-so gave me. And he goes, I ain't read that yet. He said, I'll read it and then I'll decide whether you can read it. I mean, that's how he looked out over making certain that I didn't get some false doctrine. And he did. He read the book and he gave it back to me and it was all scribbled up with red. And I thought, man, he wrote in my book. But he didn't want false doctrine into that young preacher's mind. You know, and he just wrote off to the side. You know, I mean, big bold print, wrong. I already knew it was wrong anyway, because he had taught me. I'd laugh, and I told him, I said, you think you'd teach me better than that, that I knew that wasn't right. But you know, I had a pastor that looked out for his sheep, too. When I moved 20 miles away, 21 years old, and moved out to Otter Lake, you know. My wife thought it was the other side of the world. But Brother Titus started stopping by all the time. And finally I got it after about, you know, I'm a little slow, about, you know, 6-8 weeks of him stopping by like every Saturday. I'm thinking, what is this? He stops by every Saturday and shows me his fish, you know. And Finally, I said, "You think I'm going to quit going to church, don't you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you moved a long ways away out here." And I said, "No, I'm not going to quit church. Not because I'm 20 miles away. In fact, I was probably the first or second one here. Most of you know that. It was either me or John Baxter unlocking the door for 20-plus years. But I'm thankful. I'm not bragging on myself. The Lord did that to me. Give me that desire. But their doctrine. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. I'll tell you what. We need to be careful if there people come to us and bring not this doctrine. Beware of false doctrines. Not just church members, but preachers. I have preachers sometimes say, you know, you need to read this. They get this off the internet. You know, about, you know, all meal or something. And I look at it and go, yeah, I can peruse it because of the strength that God gave me. But you need to be careful. End up throwing it in the trash. Wouldn't want anybody to find it in my house. We need to beware of the gimmicks and the ways of so-called false churches. Beware of the leaven, the doctrine. Paul wrote Timothy and he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Well, there's a lot of that. In fact, Peter said, you know, we're not telling you fables. We really did see on that holy mount the Lord transfigured. It wasn't fables. We really did see that. In fact, he went on and he told Timothy, he says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. And make full proof of the ministry. I appreciated the message about the work. Be doers. You can be hearers only, but doers. Be doers. I'll tell you. Now we look and we see that we certainly know that we said we can see the doctrine and the leaven of the Pharisees. But of the Sadducees in the world in which we live. Those who say that, you know, well, they'll accept the fact that there may be a God. You know, there may be a creator. But at the same time, they're filling your kids' minds full of evolution and the fact that this earth is billions of years old and that the Bible isn't right and the account of creation isn't right. And humanism, I mean, that there's a doctrine out there, whether you realize it or not. It's the doctrine. It's taught in our schools. It's taught, and it's part of the leaven of the Sadducees. Evolution is their doctrine. This alternate lifestyle, homosexuality and gay marriage, it's their doctrine. And the fact that evolution is taught in every national park, you can't go visit a park and not have it that crammed down your throat there too, that this park and these mountains and these things evolved over millions of years. And your tour guide will tell you that. All the sorts of authority in this world will tell you that. Our government has been switching over from the doctrine of the Pharisees. They want to get away from that of the founding fathers, even the fact that we were a Christian nation in foundation, to the doctrine of the Sadducees. I mean, really, who runs and controls our TV news? The Sadducees, as far as I'm concerned. The people who don't believe in a resurrected soul. I mean, the who controls the Learning Channel, the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, and all these, and who really controls our schools and our colleges? Those who don't believe in a resurrected soul. They're in control. And we need to be careful. You that have young people going to school, you parents, you need to be concerned about the leaven. I remember Brother Titus, you know, he treated me, and I'm thankful he treated me. Once he came to me, he says, I'm sorry, I'm probably more blunt with you than I am sometimes my own children. And I said, well, I was thankful he treated me that way. But when I made the decision to put my children in a Christian school, and he came to me, was concerned about it, and he said, I'm a little worried about the doctrine they teach there. And I was too. I mean, they didn't believe like we did. And I said, well, Brother Titus, I've got this much leaven here I can deal with, and then I've got this much leaven, and I can deal with this, and I understand this leaven. But there's a whole lot more leaven out there in public schools that I just... But you parents need to understand, there's a lot of leaven. Doctrine, colleges, institutions, being forced into your children's minds. Christ said it was a wicked and adulterous generation. I mean, we live in a wicked and adulterous generation. Humanism is taught. And so those are trying, they're trying to remove God out of everything. They're trying to remove God out of everything. And they hate God's people. The news is corrupt as it can be. I can't hardly stand to watch half the news anymore. Most of the news leaders, if you haven't figured it out, they hate Christianity. And to them, there is no hell and there's no soul to be punished, so now why not just live any way you want? Jesus said, "Beware of this leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." I find it interesting how God took something like leaven and used it for a symbol of sin, because it doesn't take very much to do a lot and have a great effect. Very small. I was a small boy and I didn't know what yeast was. My mom would send me with some money up to Hamity Brothers when it used to be up here, and I'd ride my bike and she'd say, "Go get some packets of yeast, you know," and I don't have any. I'd go in the store, "Where's packets of yeast?" And I get them little three things, fold them up and put them in my shirt pocket and think she's going to use it all, and get home and find out she just puts a little bit in there, because it doesn't take much to have an effect. And so it doesn't take much. If we think about the doctrine of the Sadducees and of the Pharisees of our day, it really doesn't take much to have an effect. Christ warns that it doesn't take much false doctrine, doesn't take much evil communications to corrupt. We have more ways of evil communications than ever before. I mean, my generation grew up with radio and TV, and I had three stations, you know. Now, I don't know how, it's just unlimited. But not only that, it's the internet. The internet is the most powerful influencing tool. There's all these sites out there that are Facebook and MySpace and YouTube, and I'll tell you what, the devil can use them. Use these just to put on and post pictures. And I know, and our country is so messed up. I listen to what goes on in Vermont, and I think, let them go. They're losing their mind in the state of Vermont. But they're, you know, this sending of illicit pictures on your cell phone. Well, they don't want a 17 or a 15 or 16-year-old to be charged with, you know, a crime as an adult. So let's get rid of that law. So basically they can send pictures. I mean, that's the kind of leaven of the Sadducees that's out there. We live in a world that just, we need to understand as parents the dangers that our children face, we bring into our home. I look at what, this verse has been read already, or somebody quoted it in Galatians, where in chapter 5 he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Who did hinder you? I mean, what kept you from going out, going calling? We were talking about that. Brother Charlie and I were talking about, you know, really what built home church was Bob Eaton and Lele Eaton and those that were first here, and going door to door and going calling up and down Jennings Road and inviting people to church. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Look at verse 8. I should have told you to turn there. This verse 8 to me is Galatians 5 and verse 8. It says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." It says, who did hinder you? Well, we know what the problem was, is they were bringing in works into, you know, works-based salvation back into the church instead of the doctrines of grace. They were adding works back in. And he says, who did hinder you? This persuasion, really that persuasion, this false teaching, this idea, where did it come from? Cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This idea, you know, and always, you know, we always didn't think we got a good idea. There's nothing new under the sun. God gave us everything we need. We as a church body must be careful not to bring in even the smallest of leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Be careful not to bring it into our Sunday school with even incorrect images. I know Brother Titus used to preach that all the time. You know, didn't Jesus have long hair and using these images that portray him as some sissified man? That's the leaven of the Pharisees. And we must be careful what is done and teaching with reverence and worshiping with reverence, and even to the music in our church services. Careful not to bring in the world's music. Be careful that we don't bring in the Easter Bunny. Turkeys for Thanksgiving, you know. I mean, just This is the world's leaven. We should certainly, Thanksgiving's probably the most right holiday of anything, but how much leaven has man put in that? We need to be careful that we don't teach our children that coming to church is where they get cookies and candy. And we play movies. I was saddened. I talked to my mom and when I was in Florida, and she was telling me that at their church, that one Sunday night they showed a movie. And she says, I really don't know what the scriptural content behind this movie was. And I said, what was the movie about? And she said, well, it was about this woman that had this ability to stretch. And I thought, And then I said, well, what else? And she said, well, they were kind of like superhumans or something. And I said, was her husband also a superhuman, sort of a big guy? And she said, yeah. And she told me more about it, and I said, Mom, that was The Incredibles. I said, that there was no spiritual content. But that was showed to a bunch of 80, 90-year-old people on a Sunday night. I mean, what? No effort to put in at preaching of the Word of God. Just pure entertainment. Well, we'll just put in a movie for the old people and, you know. My mom said, you know, she says, yeah. I said, that's like a 2.5-hour long movie. She says, yeah, a lot of people got up and walked out. And I said, I don't blame them. Wasn't any preaching. But, you know, our church is the leaven of the world. It's like, it's got to be all entertainment today. It's false teaching, the bad ideas. It spreads through the whole lump. We as a church body need to be careful that we don't bring it in. I remember hearing about this, I don't know who was it, told a story about the bubble gum years ago. Some preacher giving credit for the bubble gum. You know, he wasn't going to get on the church bus, but the bus driver said, well, I'll give you a piece of gum. So he got on the church bus, and supposedly the Lord saved him that Sunday, and instead of giving credit to the Lord saving him, he says, you know, if it wasn't for the bubble gum, I wouldn't have got on the bus. Oh, that's a shame. Robs God. This persuasion, these ideas. Where'd the idea of junior church come from? I don't find it in here. Where'd that separating the children from the parents, from the preaching? I only had two, and I know that it's hard, and that's already been brought up. You know, it is hard. And I tell you what, that was a time of just, you know, me and my wife would kind of pass each other, going in and out with one. You know, I'll go spank one, you go spank one, you know. I mean, I'm glad I didn't have 10, because I don't know, I probably would have been still out there spanking some. But this idea that you don't think that you can bring your children to church until they're able to sit. I'll tell you, I told my people this. I was traveling back from Chicago, and I stopped to get gas. And I'm stopping there at night, and this guy comes out of the gas station, and he's looking at me, smiling. He's walking with his 2-year-old. You know, when you get to be a grandparent, you look at little kids, you know. And this little 2-year-old comes up, and as he walks by the car, and he just says, put your hands right there, and he taps the taillight. And that little 2-year-old went up to that taillight, and he put his hands right there. And then I'm just like, okay, I'm amazed, first of all. 2-year-old just did what he told him to do. 2-year-old standing there, put his hands on the taillight. 2 years old. And the guy started pumping his gas. He said, well, where are you headed? You know, and I said, I can't even hardly talk because I'm looking at that 2-year-old thinking, that's amazing. I'm stunned, you know. I mean, it don't take much. This guy just tapped it as he walked by. And the 2-year-old, he's talking to me, and the kid takes one hand off, and he goes, and put his hand back on. But you can train them. You can train them to sit in a pew. You can train them to be quiet. You can teach them, and they'll listen at a very young age. But this idea that you can't, that we gotta separate them until they're like 14, until they can learn. Where did that come from? Where did the idea of women preachers come from? This, I don't find it in here, that they should pastor a church. They don't meet the qualifications. Where did the idea that meat is bad for you? Where did that come from? That's the Sadducees of the world. Look with me in 1 Timothy. I love this because my mother-in-law used to tell me, oh, that's bad for you. You shouldn't eat that. I'd slop that steak down and just thank the Lord for it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. My mother-in-law didn't care about food until she got to be 80. And I said, you lived 80 eating lard, cooked pies, and everything else. But look what it says. This is what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. And I say, if I'm praying and thankful for this steak, it'll be good for my body. Amen. And that's the truth. Where did these ideas? It's the leaven of the world that we let creep into our homes. And I found it interesting that one of the Apocrypha books, Sirach, was written by a Sadducee. And I thought, boy, I'm glad I don't have that one in there. A guy who doesn't believe in a resurrected soul. But you know what the Lord said about leaven? He said, purge it out. Purge it out. Or we need to purge it out of. I believe we need to start in our home. Brother Titus used to preach. He'd tell us men, your wife's got ungodly clothing. You go home and you men take it out of the dresser or the closet and put it out in the garbage or burn it in the driveway. He did. He said, purge it out. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, your glorying is not good. Oh, we love to think, oh, we're so good. How much leaven? How much leaven have we allowed in our homes? How many articles of clothing do you own that you wouldn't wear to church? How many videos do you own that you wouldn't sit down with the Lord and say, or your pastor? How many videos in your home would you say, Brother Dan, let's watch this movie together? There was a time a while back where that got to me, and I just started bagging them up. I thought, my wife and I said, we don't want anything that's got any kind of swearing or anything that we don't want people to have that. But who sets your fashion? Who sets the fashion of you young people? Who sets your fashion? Sadducees of the world. You know, this idea of, now somebody mentioned piercings and tattooings. Well, where did that come from? That's Sadducees. You young people, look with me over in chapter 19 of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. Go ahead and write in your Bible. You need to know where it's at. So if one of your friends asks you about getting a little tattoo that maybe mom or dad won't know about, somewhere it's hidden, well, I'll tell you, God will see it. God will know it's there. Verse 28 of Leviticus 19. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I'm the Lord. Amen. Careful about what you do with the body that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's nothing more than the doctrine of the Sadducees creeping in. And the hairstyles, it goes for men and women. We think about it. Beware of this. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You think about fashion styles and young people. What do you have at home that you have hid from your mom and dad? If you have to hide it from your mom and dad, I can tell you it ain't right. Young adults. I'm going to ask you young adults, you that are over 20. What's in your refrigerator? Or what do you have hid in your home that you wouldn't want your pastor or, for that, maybe even your spouse to know? It's a doctrine of the Sadducees. And we think about fashions. We talked about clothing. And what a hairstyles. Brother Tyus about pulled his hair out during the 70s when men had long hair, and I was one of them. When the women had their, men had their long hair and the women had their miniskirts, it's no wonder he lost his mind. Most of us are guilty for helping, probably. But the Bible makes it clear, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her. But yet, well, it's easy to take care of if I just cut it off. My wife, I know, And I probably don't tell her enough how beautiful her hair is, but I love it. It's beautiful to me. Who sets your standard for fashion? The Sadducees? Who sets the ratings for the movies on the video games and the not the Pharisees? They don't even have anything. That's the Sadducees. That's the world. And yet, you think Will says maybe because it's PG-13, it's okay. I won't tell my brownie story. My wife won't let me do that no more. The Sadducees of our day. This idea of a universal, invisible church. That one church is as good as another. Where did that come from? That's the Pharisees of our day. And there's a whole lot of people believe it. And how did it start? A little coming in at a time. Let's beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's just often a little bit that destroys whole churches and families. Just a little leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin, a little false teaching, a little of man's ideas, a little of the traditions of men, a little error let go. He said, beware. The Lord himself was writing that to us. That wasn't just to the Jews. I believe that was to everyone in this room. We need to beware of the leaven. They're still with today. We just don't call them Pharisees and Sadducees. They're working under many different names. Some call themselves the Living Church or the Full Bible Church or the Vineyard, or some of them call themselves Reverends. But the Sadducees are working hard too. They're working through the institutions that are teaching our children. They're working through the television, the news media. And they don't believe in a creation, or they don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't believe in a living soul. We may not call them Pharisees or Sadducees, but their leaven is still floating around. It'll corrupt your life, corrupt your children, your home. We need to walk circumspectly in this world. The days which we live in, because the days are evil. And understand that. Understand that as Christians. I am thankful, though, that Brother Trescott preached that message, that even though we are overwhelmed, we can look and our eyes can be open, and we can know that there's more with us than with them. And we know this world's got to get wicked. I mean, the Bible, you know, I told my people one day, why be disappointed? We really shouldn't be disappointed when we see this. We should just smile and say, thank you, Lord. Because he said the last days would be as the days of Noah and his Lot. And if we're not there, we're awful close to the days of Noah and his Lot, the last days. Thank you, Brother Dan.